You're listening to Hottery Humble.
No howling, only wooing.
Let's go, Hawks! Let's go!
Welcome to episode 24 of the Hard to be Humble podcast. Thank you for joining in today. I am the humblest man on earth, Tommy Stickle. And as always, I'm joined with the greatest value, Chad Graham.
Good evening, Tommy Stickle.
Chad,
how
just,
are you?
I'm great. Chad just took his hand, ran it through his hair, spiked up his hair, you know, did that move. I don't even know what you call that move, but it's a move of like, I'm kind of stressed. I'm not really happy, but just that's what it is, you know? So Chad did that move just for everybody listening.
I am live in Northwest Arkansas. Tommy is in Middle Tennessee, and we're able to bring you this fine product and we can look at each other at the same time.
That's right.
Once a week.
That's right. The power
technology these days, Tommy.
Technology blows me away all the time.
You know a technology I don't like?
Tell me.
AirPods. AirPods are the worst, Tommy. I'm tired of these kids walking around with the AirPods around the office all day. I'm sick of it.
Okay, so specifically in an office or work setting, AirPods are bad.
Yeah, or just in public.
Public too.
Just walking around. Yeah. See somebody walking down the street, AirPods. Do you want to say hi to someone who's got AirPods in their ears? I don't know. It just seems very shut off to the world.
You don't know if you can talk to them. That's the thing. It's like you see they have things in. You're like, there could be no noise in there at all. Or it could be blaring rock metal music. You have no idea what's going on in that person's head. So you see them, you're like, I ain't messing with you. You just keep on going, bro.
What's the difference? And you remember the Bluetooth headset?
Oh, yeah.
Those are the worst.
Those are the worst.
Why is this any better?
It's
the same.
It's
instead of going one, you got two.
For me, this is me. Everybody's different. I understand. Everybody's different, okay? To me, the thing that makes me most upset about those things is the price. I don't even know exactly how much they are. But
$200.
Yeah, I was going to guess $200. To me, that is not even close. Not even in the ballpark of making me think, wow, I might want some of those. Not even, like, that is how, like, I wouldn't, if they were $40, I'd probably be like, maybe. Maybe if they go on sale, I might pick up a pair. Like, that's how far away I am from actually purchasing that product, if that makes sense.
Would you wear them around constantly? Do people go to sleep in them? Here's what I want to know. You get home, do they ever take them out? Or are they just always...
I'm out of that. I assume that they have to be charged. Do the little carrying thing, does that charge? I don't even know. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know if they have the best sound quality in the world, but all I know is that if I buy $200 for anything that produces sound in my ears, if I'm paying $200, it had better be the best speakers in the world. That's all I'm going to say. It better be the absolute highest top rated anything that I can purchase if I'm spending that much. And obviously I would never buy those cuz
yeah.
That is so out of my range of acceptable financial decision.
it's annoying. This is annoying. And this is what I didn't like about the Bluetooth piece is people hands-free just in public. Like in a cafeteria at a workplace, and they're just like talking. They're lying behind you. They're just talking. Oh, maybe they're talking to me. I turn around to say hi, and they, oh no.
So yes, that's definitely annoying. So this happened this weekend. This annoyed me a little bit. So I was at Panda Express, believe it or not.
Ugh.
Okay, it was delicious. I love it, but. So I was talking to the guy and I was like, hey, I want my broccoli and beef or whatever. You know, I was telling him my order. And then he starts saying, oh, I can't even remember exactly what he said, but having a good day, something like that. And I was like, yeah, man, I'm having a good day. How about you? and he was talking to the person in the drive-thru on his thing. And I was like, oh, sorry. I didn't realize you were just a second ago talking to me, and then you switched to talking to a person through your headset. Like, there should be some kind of warning for that kind of thing. I think he did it two times. The first time I didn't even notice he said something. And then the second time really made me feel like almost rude and like an idiot for continuing to talk to him. Anyways, that kind of irritated me. All right, well, let's get into some sports things. Let's do some recaps over some, I don't know if it's disappointing. I mean, we all feel kind of disappointing. We all feel a little bit down after that Kentucky game. But ultimately, last week, you predicted we'd be 1-1 for last week. You were exactly correct. I predicted 2-0. I was not correct. I think you predicted the Kentucky game to go the end score to be 68-60. Weren't too crazy off that. It felt in the final like minute or so that seemed almost like it would happen. But anyways, Chad, the Vandy game's kind of fully in the shadow of the Kentucky game, I feel like, at this point. But
lost.
What do you think, Chad? What do you think? What's your reactions to those two games?
Vanderbilt is what I thought would happen. Looked really good. And I almost forgot. I think everyone's forgot, like, what happened in that game.
See, I don't think we looked good.
Jimmy Witt. That's what it was. Jimmy Witt looked good.
That was it. See?
That's right. That's right.
I'll let you finish your takeaways.
This is a very...
Okay, well, let me interject here.
Takeaway. Okay,
my takeaway from Vandy, you started seeing these signs of a slump out of our top player, which is Mason Jones and Isaiah Joe. You started seeing the slump, okay? Mason had a bad game offensively. How many assists did Mason have in that game? I know it was a lot. So, yeah, Mason Jones ended with 8 assists in that game. And how many points did he score?
1.
1 point, okay? Not good. Against a team like Vandy, that's not a defensive team, period. They're not a defensive team. And how many did Isaiah Joe have? 12. Not good. Okay, that game was completely controlled and dominated by Jimmy Witt. Thank goodness for him, because we would have lost without him, obviously. But you started seeing these signs of regression out of our good players. And we lost our identity, I feel like, recently in these past two games. I think we can kind of regain that. I think that that's something that we can get back to. But you started seeing the signs in Vandy, and I feel like the Kentucky game kind of, again, accentuated the identity lost, if you know what I'm saying. You know, our identity was play really good, scrappy defense where we contest shots. You know, we're going to be bad at rebounding, but that's okay. We accept it. It's just part of the game plan, but at least be scrappy, be tough, and then rely on Isaiah Joe and Mason Jones to really be our offense. And then when they're a little off, Jimmy Witt's got to be our guy that smooths it over and says, it's all good because I'm here. And against Kentucky, Mason was off. This is just the way I feel. I feel like Isaiah was off. And then Jimmy Witt was even off for the first half. And when all those three things combined to be kind of together off, it was bad. It was bad news for us. And it just looked pretty sloppy for the majority of the game.
Now, in context, every team goes through this, right? And true. This is something that you got to redefine yourself, and you don't.
Yes.
You don't just like, I'm really good, and we stay good the whole year. You got bumps in the road, so completely normal in a college basketball season. Not like football, where you lose one game and you're toast.
Yep.
Basically, but they started the game off with their identity. You know, they looked really good. The first, was it 10 minutes? What was the turning point where we had a long stretch where we didn't score? But if you remember correctly, the first 5 or 6, 7 possessions, the defense was awesome. Like the plan they had against Nick Richards, we were fronting him. We were stealing the ball away. We were knocking down threes. We were getting good rebounds. And just the scheme on defense was good. Everyone was hustling. Everyone looked kind of dead after. But what was the turning point, Tom, where we just kind of stopped doing that? I don't know if anything jumps out in your mind, but did Kentucky just wear us down?
In the first half, I can't think of anything specifically other than I just felt like we got out of rhythm and we weren't in our rhythm and we didn't have our identity. And then of course, everything kind of got back on track when we took the lead in the second half and Calipari got ejected, which was, you know, the neatest thing that's happened in Bud Walton Arena in a long, long time. And then after that, it literally was just pure flatline. Just Kentucky took over the game, and we got wiped the floor after that, which Kentucky's a good team. I will say this, though. They don't feel like Kentucky typically does. Kentucky typically feels like an unbeatable team or a team where you have to play your absolute best to beat them. That's not at all what I got from Kentucky this year playing them. I come away not saying Kentucky beat us. This game feels like Arkansas beat itself. We beat us. We should have, at that point of the game, it felt like we had it in the bag. Everything was going our way. And then we just couldn't, you know, we lost that game for ourselves. And that's almost a worse feeling than having the opportunity to say, no, Kentucky really snatched that game. I mean, was it for Kentucky, was it Quickly or Maxey? I think it was Maxey who had two really important buckets. Maybe they were three-point buckets. Maybe one was like a transition bucket, and then he made a three right after Cal got ejected, and that really started the tide. But he really started the momentum shift, and then it was just, yeah, I felt like it was just done after that. But I can't remember the first half what really shifted. It just felt kind of muddled to me, that whole half.
No one play sticks out as to what caused it, but I think they just, he got a few buckets underneath there. They started out rebounding the Hogs pretty heavily, getting those offensive rebounds, and I think that started just to wear on them. I think that mentally gets to them. Like LSU game where we out-rebounded so poorly, where the hell is offensive rebounds? It just mentally wears them down a little bit, especially if they have, say, because an offensive rebound is so tough physically and mentally on a team. Because you got to stop, right? You got them to miss a shot. So, like, you did what you were supposed to on defense, but then they get the rebound and have another possession, and there you are, right? It's like getting an interception in football and an offense turn the ball over or something. You know, it's like defense just got off the field. I did my job. Oh, I got to come back out here and do it again.
Yep.
So that's it. And then you go down there and miss a shot after that. Just piles on. So I don't think Jalen Harris got too many minutes with Desi Sills on the bench.
Yeah.
He didn't belong. He had a couple big threes, but Jalen, don't drive in and try to score on a 6'11 guy.
Yeah. It's not going to happen. I feel like two things, and this is a very uneducated basketball statement to say, but it seems like we are struggling offensively when teams do things like Kentucky was doing, which is basically put three men kind of to prevent us from driving in and getting any type of layups. It was kind of like every time we tried to drive in, there was zero chance that we were going to get to the hole. It was like we put it on the floor. What we needed to do is something different. And when that happens, whenever teams kind of clog, you know, around the basket and put like two or three people there kind of constantly and let us shoot from outside. It's like they don't care and kind of hold us to like mid-range jumper territory. It's like our team doesn't feel comfortable doing that, probably because the analytics say not to. And Jimmy Witt's supposed to be our mid-range guy, but he can kind of be off at times. And then whenever that happens, whenever we can't make our threes and then they kind of clog the middle like that, it's just we're toast, I feel like. It's happened a few games. I feel like Texas A&M was another game that was like that, and it was just kind of threw off our offense whenever we're not quite just nailing it from three-point, and then we don't know what to do whenever we can't slice to the basket and get layups. Like Desi Seals can't get in there. You know, Jalen tried it multiple times, just got annihilated every time he tried, you know. Very uneducated basketball thing there, but it's just a little thing I feel like I've noticed. Just if I were playing Arkansas, I would say put three big guys or three biggish guys kind of planted in the paint and just let Arkansas try to beat you. If they're not making their threes, they're going to struggle.
Yeah, that's a good point. And two, with Calipari, cool moment. I wish I would have been there to experience it when he got ejected, because I I mean, just looking at the players and them plugging their ears.
Yeah, that was so
pretty
cool.
And then with Dave Van Horn waving goodbye. That's a pretty iconic picture. Would have been really iconic if we would have won the game.
Yeah.
It would have been a different story. But, well, I mean, the game changed after he got kicked out. And he knew what he was doing. I mean, Kentucky just pushed it down our throats after that. So, no, Arkansas was just shell-shocked after that. They didn't. They should have taken advantage of that, being up three. Crowd was wild. Just think if Isaiah Joe knocks down a three-pointer, what that crowd would have done. It would have broke the place.
Yep.
Think about that. And two, what gets lost in all this and in that big comeback, think about Reggie Chaney's block.
Reggie Chaney,
against the glass.
Yep.
Some really good plays there.
That was one of the positives from the game. I remember, like, I feel like one thing I can do to really remember my feelings through a game is look back at my text thread with you and one of our other friends. Yeah. And one of the things I texted is Reggie Chaney's coming alive. So that's one good thing. He had some moments there where he really did some good things and really made an impact. Also, another just, this is going, I guess, back to bad things, but you could just tell Kentucky's played some big games this year already. We're not their biggest game they've had this year. You could tell that this is the biggest game Arkansas's had this year. Even though we were at home, we were all psyched out of our minds. The players were psyched out of their minds. Muss was psyched out of his mind. Everybody was hyped, okay? And you could just tell that our players were over-emotional. They weren't composed. They didn't have that big game composure that we need to have. So, great experience that we had with this game. I think it will really help us down the line, like, all the pressure was on the team. You could see, like, during the game, like, Mason Jones was hitting himself in the head at the free throw line because I was just like, we're overly emotional here. Like, I know it's exciting to be excited, but there is a quality of being composed. And I noticed that for Kentucky, for instance, in the first half, you know, they could have gone up for all these crazy dunks. I think the one time they did, he actually nailed it off the back of the rim, but they were going for like little layups. You know, they weren't going for the statement over emotional, like trying to press and trying to slam it home. It was like they've been there before. They just wanted the 2 points, and those were the ones that we got goaltending on. I feel like that happened multiple times in a row where they just laid it up, and of course, we're overly emotional trying to block everything, you know? So just calm down. This will be a really good learning experience for the team. Let's mature from this. I don't want to feel like grow up is the right word because I do feel like we're a mature team, but until you experience the big game environment, you know, you got to learn from it, and hopefully they can next time in a big game can just kind of stay calm and just you don't have to reinvent yourself to beat a team like Kentucky. To win, just do you and don't feel like you have to do extra. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I get that. Move on. I mean, it is what it is, that game. Let's not make too much of it. It's just a conference game. We got to stop treating it as like the Super Bowl. Like, it's just a conference game. I'm excited. I hope we see him again in the SEC tournament.
That'd be fun.
I think we'll be ready for that one.
Exactly. I don't feel like, oh, if we play Kentucky again, we can't beat him. Nah, not at all. Like I said, I think we beat ourselves this game to a certain extent, but it'll be fun. Hey. It would be really fun to play him again. I hope that happens. Yeah. Let's hope for that.
Adriel Bailey's got I don't know what's going on with him, man. He's kind of not been himself.
Yeah, he's kind of lost it a bit.
We need him.
I was going to ask you, Chad. So I feel like post this Arkansas game, even before, you know, Dick Vitale being there, Dickie V commentating on it. We got some national exposure. The Arkansas basketball brand got a lot of exposure, even though we lost. Do you feel like we have now planted ourselves in the national basketball conversation? Meaning we're not just under the radar. We are on the radar now. Do you feel that way?
No, I don't.
You don't feel like there's a shift yet in that? Because no. I would disagree with you on this.
Nope.
Like for instance, Doug Gottlieb tweeted out tonight. You know, it's not stupid, but the Shark Kansas or Sharkansas or however they're doing that. I don't know.
Love Sharkansas.
Yeah. So you know they did the hype video afterwards, and Doug Gottlieb, you know, tweeted out, "This is outstanding." And it's like, Doug Gottlieb, why are you commenting on? In other words, it's just there's big time people that are actually paying attention or commenting on stuff like we matter, or that I just feel like it's even though we lost, I think the environment that we had and the fact that we were booing the Kentucky fans as they left warmups, and there was, and the players are tweeting out how that's the loudest they've ever heard in any game they've been in. Calipari got ejected. Like, it was just a big time event, and Arkansas was the center of it. I feel like it kind of, even though we lost, I'm not saying we're going to be in the top 25 now. That's not all what I'm saying, but we're a team that is getting paid attention to. That's I think my point, but you can disagree.
Yeah, I disagree. I mean, still lost. We got a ways to go. I mean, we gotta do something. Finish top three in the conference. I think top three is a good, sets themselves apart nationally to be. Because honestly, how many SEC teams really get considered nationally? I mean, always UK, maybe one or two extra on top of that. Yep. You got to be top three. We're not
top
there
three.
Right now.
Yep. And there's no reason that, in my estimation, that we shouldn't be there with the amount of passion and arena and the way we treat basketball, the regard that we hold it. We should consistently be in the top three in the SEC, unless we just have like if our best player gets injured, sure, that might change things, but that's where our program should be. And we're trending there. We're trending there. There's even a chance that we could get there this year.
There's some good coaches in the SEC though.
Yep.
I was looking a little bit at Mississippi State's roster and I'm a bit worried, Tom.
What's worrying you, Chad?
I forgot Reggie Cheney. I forgot Reggie Perry is 6'10".
Yep.
And I forgot they have the other 6'11" guy. Reggie Perry's going to kill us.
Think so?
Yep. Just like Richards did. Perry's going to do the same thing.
Well, the other big guy for them, for Kentucky, didn't kill us. Montgomery.
True. Yeah.
But he kind of spelled, I think he spelled Richards a lot and he was not good. But yeah, I know what you mean. I feel like you can make that. We'll see. I mean, that's an interesting thing to see. You know, will Reggie Perry?
No, what hurts is that we had him. We had him, Tom.
We did have him.
He should be on our team.
If you don't want to be on it, you're dead to me.
Yeah, it's true.
So I don't care. I don't care. So let's see when that game is this upcoming Wednesday. Mississippi State at Mississippi State is Wednesday, January 22nd at 6 p.m. on SEC Network. So tune in. Of course, our next game after that is Saturday, scheduled for 3 p.m. ESPN2 playing TCU at home. Another big game, or at least it's kind of interesting to call that a big game. I don't know if it's a big game yet.
Every game's a big game.
Yeah,
every game's a big game. Plus, when you're playing someone from another conference, I mean, we gotta represent. You know, we gotta make sure that to make that these conference games mean something. We gotta make sure our, and this is the only time I'll support a conference is like in games like these, because games against each other matter and like how good the other teams are. It's like if we go and beat Mississippi State and they stink, or if we lose to them and they stink, it's worse than when we're playing good teams. You know.
So just to give everybody a little context, I know we're kind of jumping around on games, but let's go back to Mississippi State just for a bit and kind of give you some history there of what they've been doing lately. So on last Saturday, they absolutely smoked Georgia at home. They beat Georgia 59-91. So the game before that was the Wednesday before, I believe it was the 14th. They beat Missouri at home 45-72. So Mississippi State coming off two just blowout wins at home. Don't know if you want to read into that could help us. I don't know. But the game before that, they lost to LSU barely on the road, lost by 1 point, 59-60. So Mississippi State, I mean, they're a good team too. They're not bad. They've been scoring. Let's see what they look like on KenPom. So on KenPom, Mississippi State is currently ranked 42. We are currently ranked 31. So let's see their strengths. So Mississippi State is 24th in adjusted offense and 85th in adjusted defense. And, of course, Arkansas, we're 98th in offense, which we've actually gone up tremendously in that, in adjusted offense, and 11th in adjusted defense. So we're obviously a defensive team. They're obviously offensive team. I feel like that typically favors the offense or the defensive team. I feel like just having a good defense is typically a good thing. But my gut is telling me.
What's your gut?
I typically feel that teams bounce back from losses. So I would say, since Mississippi State didn't lose their last game, they're going off of two. This is more of just an emotional psychology play here, more than like looking at players and stuff. I think we're going to correct some things. I think we want to win the next game. We're going to be up for it. Mississippi State's kind of cruising, even though they're doing really well right now. I'm going to say we win the game. Barely. It'll be a barely. It'll be a barely.
I'll give the Hogs this. They're always fighting. And it's going to come down to the wire.
I agree.
There's going to be few and far between blowouts, I think, with this squad.
I agree. Yeah, I think that's definitely true. Close games. Maybe when we play like weak teams, that might change. But for the most part, kind of tight games. And I don't know. It should be a really great game. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm not any less excited about Arkansas basketball after
nope, me neither.
That game. So, I not affected by that at all. This is part of basketball. It's a long season. That's why I love it, too, is that you can have a bad week, a bad game, a bad week, whatever, but it's fun. Like, that's what I love about it.
So looking at, you know, TCU and kind of their recent performances and how they've been doing, not great, I would say. So they have this upcoming, or actually tomorrow for tonight, we record on Monday nights typically. So on Tuesday, TCU will be playing at home against Texas Tech, currently ranked number 18. On Saturday, they played Oklahoma, lost on the road, lost by 20 at Oklahoma, scored 63 points. Before that, they played West Virginia on the road, who's a ranked team, number 14. They only scored about 50 in that one, so they got beat by 30 points there. Scored 52 against Oklahoma State the game before that. So, I don't know. I don't have a great, bead, so to speak, or on TCU. I'm really, haven't been paying close attention to the Big 12 and what's going on there in basketball, but I would say that just it being a sold-out game, I would have the Hogs having a pretty good chance against TCU as well.
Oh, man. Yeah. I think they'll be okay. Hogs will be fine. We'll see. We'll see how they respond. They responded well so far to loss, so we'll see how we do on Wednesday. Feel good about them. We'll be fine.
For the record,
even if we lose Wednesday, we'll be fine.
Exactly. For the record, the little ESPN indicator thing has Arkansas as a 34% chance of winning at Mississippi State, so not great odds. No away team does. And then at home, we have an 81% chance at beating TCU. So I think TCU's,
for what it's worth,
a good opportunity for a W.
For what it's worth, UK had a 35% chance to win at Bud Walton.
Yep.
I don't know. Maybe we blew our opportunity, or maybe definitely that index. It's garbage.
Every all those power ranking things are pretty much garbage. But I do think there is power to, like, some analytics. But, hey, yeah, it's a short game. Games are short. They're a short period of time, especially college. It's crazy how short college basketball games are in my mind, just the way they have it
set
up.
Isn't it great, though?
It just creates chaos, which is what they want in college basketball. That's why it's March Madness,
Love it.
It's 2 hours.
2 hours and you're done with the game.
It's nuts. Yeah, it's so short.
College football and NFL, it's like you're in there for 4 hours.
Yeah, oh, it's way like, too please. Long. Gosh, it's awful.
Please,
awful.
Somebody put me out of my misery.
All right, Chad. Well, I want to give you a little, I don't know if you call it trivia. I want to give you a little challenge, a Chad challenge. Chad challenge today, okay. All right? Do not look at this, okay? Don't cheat.
I'm not a cheater.
You're not
too
a
much
cheater.
Integrity.
I trust
Dad's
you in
a
that.
Preacher.
So what I'm going to do is just to kind of give you and myself and, you who are listening, I want to give everybody an opportunity to kind of get a feel for what we're looking like statistically on the team and who's leading in points and different things, per game averages and stuff. So I want Chad to go with his gut. He's watched every single basketball second of this season.
Yeah.
Probably haven't been paying attention to a cumulative. I know you look at the, each game statistics, but probably not cumulative stats. So what are we looking like cumulative? So I want to quiz Chad just a little bit, all right? So, Chad, who is leading this Razorback men's basketball team per game in assists?
Assist? That's easy. Has to be. Oh, man. has to be Mason Jones.
That is correct.
Correct. Bam. At 3.5 assists a game. Pretty good.
I was going to guess five. Way too high.
Way too high, but that's okay. Number two. Who's number two? Surprising.
Oh, Jalen Harris.
Correct. Very good. Second on the team. A little show. You know, you would assume that Jimmy Whip might be there. Nope. He only has two.
Does is pass. Jalen just passes.
Yep. Okay. All right. Let's go with points per game. Who is leading the team in points per game?
Mason Jones.
Ding, ding, ding. Who's next? This is pretty easy. I mean, this is kind of the stat Isaiah that Joe. Most people know. Correct. Next.
Who's after Isaiah Joe?
Yeah.
Jimmy Witt?
Yep. That's, you know, it's pretty consistent. So Mason Jones is at...
It almost seemed too easy.
Exactly. Mason Jones is at 18.2 per game. Isaiah Joe, 17.5. Jimmy Witt, 14 point... Oh, gosh. My eyes are getting bad. Eight, I think. It's either eight or three. So, you know, I think we all have a pretty good beat on that. Rebounds.
Per game?
Yep.
Not total rebounds grabbed, but rebounds per game.
Rebounds per game.
You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Isaiah Joe.
Wrong.
Isaiah Joe is fourth on the team.
Way off.
But not.
Jimmy Witt.
It's wrong. Close. Jimmy Witt is second on the team in rebounds per game.
Adriel.
Wrong.
Adriel's third per game.
Reggie Janey.
Wrong.
Sixth.
What? Hold on. Mason Jones?
Mason Jones.
What?
So you might see a theme here. Nice. Who's been at the top of all of these statistics? Mason Jones.
Mason Jones
averaging 6.1 rebounds a game, people. 6.1 rebounds a game.
Wow.
Jimmy Witt, 5.3. Adriel Bailey, 4.3. Let me zoom in here so I can actually see these stupid points. Jimmy Witt, or sorry, Adriel Bailey, 4.8. Isaiah Joe, 4.5. Desi Sills has more than Reggie Chaney. Come on, at 3.2. Anyways, okay. Let's look at, here, I'm just trying to be fair here. Let's look at steals. Who has the most steals?
Ooh. Isaiah Joe.
Wrong.
Second.
Desi Sills.
Wrong.
Oddly, shockingly to me, I probably would have guessed him first. Fifth?
Yeah. That's not right. That's a typo. Mason Jones.
Mason Jones, number one, at 1.9 steals. Isaiah Joe, 1.6. Adriel Bailey, 1.5.
Hey.
All right. So this one, this is another one. Okay, turnovers.
Turnovers?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's leading there?
Oh, man.
You should see it. You should see a trend here. I'm just.
Mason Jones?
Yes. Not a good thing to be leading in, but at 3.3 turnovers a game. Ouch. Mason Jones. Second, Isaiah Joe, though, at 1.8. So,
and you know where those turnovers come from? He's been really soft when he like tries to take the ball and tries to go in. It's like he's trying to halfway draw contact and halfway like, but it's so weak. He looks so soft trying to like do some of those moves.
That is correct.
All right. This is the wild card stat. Who is leading the team in 3-point percentage?
I know it was Jalen Harris at one point in time.
He's fourth currently. And this is a percentage.
Isaiah shoots too much.
He's second. So
he's not. Percentage. Adriel.
Yes, at 37.5. Adriel Bailey. Leading
dude's
the team.
Like been 100% lately.
That's
so.
Not good. I guess. I don't, maybe that is good. But
is Mason pretty, like 15%?
Mason is third on the team at 33.3. So not bad at all.
What's Desi? Three?
Oh, man. He is currently at 21.9.
Yeah. Gene Talsilla?
Oh, he's popped up a couple at
he's
least.
He's made one.
Yeah, he's at 10%. And amazingly, and almost just, I just love this. Jimmy Witt hasn't even tried one. Just Or I don't think so. He at least is 0%, so he hasn't made one. That's for sure. But I'm pretty sure he hasn't attempted. Let me just confirm.
Know your role, Jimmy.
Sorry. Apparently on here they say he attempted 1 3-point shot this year.
No, I don't remember that.
But I don't remember it either.
It must have been like a half-court shot, like at the buzzer.
Yeah, that's exactly. I guarantee it's something like that. How cool is that? Like, Jimmy Witt is such a just cool player. I just like him. He knows his role. He does what he does, and he doesn't shake from it. And he's come into the season knowing, like, he hasn't wavered from his plan. Like, he knows it. It's admirable, in my opinion. It's pretty neat. So, you heard the stats so far this season, Chad. Who's our best player? Who's our MVP? Mason Jones.
Mason Jones. It's very clear now.
Mason. Isn't that nuts? 6 rebounds, man. 6 rebounds. How crazy is that? It's good.
Should he be our leading rebounder, though?
I don't know.
No.
So what else we got, Chad? Anything else with basketball that's on your mind, on your heart, on your Razorback soul today? Is that sacrilegious to say your Razorback soul, or can you have kind of like a different little compartment?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to bounce back. I can't emphasize enough, we don't bounce back Wednesday. It's perfectly normal. Like, it's fine. We have to bounce back at some point. I'd prefer it be Wednesday.
Is there anything that you could see in that game that would literally alarm you or make you question the team now? Like, obviously, we lost to Kentucky. If this happened against Mississippi State, you'd seriously put up some alarms. Are you there yet? Could you see any game plan or any scenarios unfolding that would make you question that?
Here's the thing. If I've seen them quit, but I haven't seen them quit yet. You know, like we saw this a lot in Anderson teams where they just give up.
Yep.
And I haven't even seen it close with this team yet. And that's why I'm not worried it's going to happen, because this team just doesn't give up. So if you see them like get down 15 or 20 and then they just kind of quit in the second half, then I'd be concerned.
But that's a good point. I like that.
I haven't seen it yet.
I like that. As long as we got the want, we should come out of it. And I feel like Muss will have that under control.
Yeah.
I do think there were some things, though, in this last game that you could critique about it. And maybe you could say he wasn't quite prepared for it. Maybe. Maybe overhyped himself for it.
Nobody's perfect.
Nobody's perfect. So let's briefly touch on hockey, who literally might as well just have started a new hockey season at this point. Their break. When you don't play for a solid month, it's like it's just a new season. So they've got their first game. To give them credit, they should have played, but whatever. The games got canceled. But anyways, got some games this upcoming Friday and Saturday at Missouri State. So watch the Razorback hockey socials. They'll likely have some Facebook feeds of that. Watch it, like it, support it. Let me know when you're. Hockey jerseys start rolling in. I know a few of you all got some of those, so hopefully you'll get those and love them and cherish them, and that'll be a great thing.
With all of your heart.
Finally, Chad, let's just touch on football just a bit.
Oh, boy.
We have some news about likely our quarterback for next year, Felipe Franks. I believe I'm pronouncing his name right, Felipe. Is that how everybody
Sounds
pronounce
right.
it? I know it's got an extra E in there that most people don't want to spell. It's F-E-L-E-I-P-E, Felipe or something.
Felipe.
But I think it's Felipe. So he'll likely be our quarterback, which is news. I'm not overhyped, not too high, not too low about it. I mean, he's experienced. Can't hurt the team, I can tell you that. It could be good. I just don't think we can really make any... I think you and I both are basically we can't trust anything as good or bad at this point. We'll see it when we see it. We thought there were some good things in the past that happened and they were terrible. And it's just like, let's just wait and see. So it's news. We love the Hogs. We're going to watch every football game. We love them. But, you know, we're getting some commitments here and there. They're kind of your averagey 3-star kind of guys. I'm sure some of them will be great. I'm sure most of them won't. That's how 3-stars go. You know, I do I do trust Sam Pittman. I like him, but he could be terrible for all we know as well. So I do. I will say this. I thought it was cool. You know, on Saturday, they had all the students lined up before the game. They started handing out food and like burritos to the kids in line, mustard or whatever. I thought it was cool that Sam Pittman showed up, started kind of getting in there, started shaking some hands, giving some guys some hugs. And you just saw a little bit of his personality in the video. Probably most of you saw this on social media. You know, the Razorback basketball Twitter was pumping it out and stuff. But you could just see that there is a sense of genuine kindness and joy. And he's just a people person. You can just see it. It's blatant to see. He enjoys hugging people and making them happy. And I liked seeing that in that video. Did you watch the video, Chad?
Did. That was good.
He just seems like a cool, like, I guarantee if Sam Pittman were a member of your family, you'd love him. Like, he would be that favorite person in your family that you'd want to go talk to. You can just tell it about him, you know?
I agree with that.
And what about Chad Morris? Do you think you'd like him in your family, Chad? Joe Craddock. Joe Craddock, he got a new job. Everybody's gotten a new job, I think, other than John Chavis. John Chavis, he's still a free agent. Do you think he's done, Chad? I think he's probably done.
Absolutely. He'll get,
it just depends. I mean, he might want to be done. He got paid so much money last year. He got paid like...
He wants to be a linebacker's coach or something.
Oh, think he... yeah. Man, he's set. He got plenty of money. Joe Craddock, our offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach, got a job coaching tight ends like UAB or something. That's not encouraging to see at all.
Oh, football time. Jeez.
It's like torture for you talking about football. That's why I always bring it up. You're in a bad place. It's hilarious.
You played so bad. Kentucky started a wide receiver at quarterback, and you saw it in person, Tommy.
I did.
They smoked us.
It was a good game. It was fun to be there.
Well, I'm sure you had more fun. I went to the Mississippi State game. And guess what? That game was not fun to be at. I went to the San Jose State game as well. That game was not fun to be at.
Wow. I didn't realize. I've forgotten about that. I don't even remember the Mississippi State game at this point. That was a bad one. I don't even remember what happened. I'd have to go back and look. It is out of my mind.
Ben Hicks was like, everybody wanted Ben Hicks to sit the bench, and Morris was like, nope, I'm playing Ben Hicks.
Gosh.
And so it was after Starkle had been benched, and I remember Hicks came out on the field to booze. People were so mad. He just kept going three and out. And finally, KJ came in and like led a touchdown drive, and
that was it.
Everybody got so fired up.
And that was it. He didn't even do much.
We were already down by like, we were already down by like 30 points at that point.
And guess what happened to that head coach? Fired. Oh, man. The good thing is that feels like a long time ago to me. That's a good thing. Does that feel like a long time ago to you?
Yes, it does.
Isn't that weird? It feels like long ago.
Oh,
put it away. Bury it. 6 feet deep. Gone.
Farther.
Well, all right, Chad. Appreciate your time today, man. Here's to hopefully at least one victory this week. Hopefully two, of course, for basketball. But let's shoot for one. Can we settle at one? Can you be happy with one?
Yeah, I think one and one's reasonable expectation this week.
All right,
let's be reasonable. Let's not be unreasonable. Let's not get our hopes up.
All right, I'm with you. One and one. That's my prediction as well.
It's gonna happen.
All right, y'all hang in there. We love you. And woo big.
Woo big.
Thank you for listening to Hard to Be Humble. Every ounce of support you give us is greatly appreciated. We can't thank you enough for tuning in with us today. Go now and follow the show on Twitter at @humble_podcast and on Instagram at @hardtobehumblepodcast. And if you'd like to have any of your thoughts, ideas, opinions, or concerns heard on the show, you can leave a voicemail or text our dedicated phone number at 615-392-0107. Hog calls are especially encouraged. And finally, never forget, as the late, great Mac Davis taught us so long ago, it can be really hard to be humble, especially if you're an Arkansas Razorback fan. Go Hogs!